Welcome to the Versus History Podcast with your hosts, Patrick O'Shaughnessy, Connell Smith, and Elliot Watson.
Hello, welcome to Versus History. It's Connell here with the rest of the editorial team, with Elliot and Patrick. How are you, gentlemen?
I am great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Patrick, all good?
I'm great, just as great as Elliot is, but perhaps a little bit less great than you are. But either way, happy to be here.
Well, flattery, eh?
Where is here? I am currently in the back garden of my in-laws in Dollis Hill, North London, not far from Wembley. Where are you, Pat?
I am 30 miles south of my favourite city, Leicester. I am the north side of Northampton.
North side, is that important that it's north side of Northampton?
It is for me, because I orientate everything around Leicester. So yes, it is. I'm the right side of Northampton to be at the south side of Leicester.
Sounds okay. And Connell, where are you?
I'm also at the in-laws, Elliot. I'm up in Yorkshire, up on the Yorkshire Moors.
Are you north or south of some indeterminate place like Pat was talking about?
I'm a bit north of Bradford.
North of Bradford.
North of Leeds. Kind of west of Leeds. We're here, the three of us. We're gonna have a little bit of a chat for the podcast ahead of the Versus History Social,
which I'm looking forward to. Should be great.
Yeah. So we're just gonna record a little bit. We said we trailed it on our social media that we're going to announce the winner of our series of books, the books that were nominated for the Wolfson History Prize. So we're going to announce that here so that everybody listening to the podcast can hear about the lucky winner as well. And then once we've done the social, we'll publish that out on social media.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to announce the winners until we've had a bit of a chat about some of the wonderful history that we have experienced over the last 6 or 7 weeks, right, gents?
Yeah. Absolutely. So should we do that then? Should we go around, maybe talk about a couple of the places that we've been, what we've seen that's interesting? Elliot, why don't you kick us off with what's been the highlight?
Oh, right. Well, I tell you what, I think it was probably the first week I arrived back in the UK. And to preface that, you know, I pretty much all of what we're about to talk about is UK-centric, because we arrived back in the UK all pretty much the same time. I went down to Winchester to look at a potential school for my daughter, and I was very much taken by the Winchester Cathedral. So I did a little bit of research. I didn't know a great deal about it. I should have, perhaps. And I was very much taken by the Winchester Cathedral. So for those of you who may not know, the Winchester Cathedral, at least the way that we look at it now, began just after 1066, when William of Normandy conquered England, and he set about installing his barons in various locales around the country as French barons. But he also started something of a religious imposition. And so he began installing his various bishops, his French bishops, around the country to make sure that he spread his, not just his strategic influence, but also his religious influence. And pretty much one of the first bishops that he made, if you like, was a chap called Walcolin. And he was a relative as well as a friend, a French friend of William of Normandy. And he established him in Winchester. Now, Winchester Cathedral, if you have been, have you guys ever been?
I grew up in Thor. I lived in Southampton since I was about 7. So I went to Winchester a few times, but only really when I was little. I can't remember the cathedral. The only thing I remember about Winchester is the round table. There's kind of a fake King Arthur's round table. I can't for the life of me remember if it's in the cathedral.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It must not be in the cathedral. There must be somewhere else.
Right. So but you didn't see the massive building around it then?
Probably saw it, but can't remember it. That's embarrassing.
Have you seen it?
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
No, you've not seen it? Well, one of the claims to fame, other than it being one of the original and first construction works, religious construction works by William of Normandy, began in 1079, would you believe, is that it is, and this is quite an unusual thing, it is the longest cathedral in Europe. Make of that what you will. I don't know exactly what that means, but other than if you're stood outside of it, it is extraordinarily impressive and very long.
Wow.
Now, here's what I was thinking about, and I was thinking about this today, actually. When we talk about William of Normandy, either whether we're talking about him at school teaching or in terms of the history that we discuss here, we talk about how he placed his barons and he placed his religious brethren, if you like, in these important and strategic places in the country. And we talk about it as if it's some incredible or seismic shift, and perhaps it was in England at the time. But I was trying to extrapolate it a little bit closer to this time period. It's really no different to, let's say, when you get a prime minister or a president who installs his own or her own cabinet in order to run the country. So sometimes when we talk about these things from 800 years ago, whatever, well, obviously 1,000 years ago, we talk about them in a way that's so distant, we kind of begin to think that it's not normal. But this kind of thing is a very normal characteristic of men and women who want to exert their authority and pass their influence throughout the powerful institutions of the country. Anyway, that was one of the first things I saw, that's what impressed me most about Winchester Cathedral. What about you guys?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, it's interesting, isn't it? Because with the Norman Conquest, there's the idea, isn't there, of kind of the replacement by the Norman aristocracy of the Saxon aristocracy, and there's kind of a linguistic, an ethnic, a national element to that replacement, which I guess differentiates it slightly from, say, like the installation of a new cabinet. But you're right, like somebody in power, they want the people that they know, the people that they can trust, and that kind of parallels a little bit onto quite a few of the things that I saw in North Wales. So I went to a few castles in North Wales. I went to Caernarfon Castle, went to Cliceth Castle, drove underneath or next to Harlech Castle as well. And looking at the imposition of power that the English in the 13th century, the English monarchs did, and how they controlled things. And there was some degree of kind of collaboration with Welsh princes that they could get on side, but actually a lot of it was again about bringing in people from England, installing them in positions of power, and using them as a kind of a markedly different ruling class, I guess, to facilitate their grip on power. So I get, it was nice to hear you chatting medieval for a while there, Elliot. That was kind of,
didn't know a lot about that.
Well, whenever you do it, you do it so well. You should dwell more there. You should dwell more there.
So, Pat, that's some medieval history. What have you got for us?
Which I love. I do love a bit of medieval history, especially when it's orated by two such erudite scholars as yourself and Connell. I've been around.
It's a social, like, Patrick. You don't have to get sarcastic with us.
I've been, like yourself, gentlemen, I have really racked up some mileage on the hire car. I have been from Northamptonshire to Leicestershire down to London, London down to Hampshire, then to Dorset, then to Devon, back to Leicestershire, then up to Yorkshire, and then back to Northamptonshire. So I've been all over. And if I were to pick one thing out, it would be the little-known Battle of Muddiford, 1784, which happened in Muddiford Quay in Dorset, so south-southwest. I know it's an area that we all know quite well. So the reason it's so interesting to me is, well, in short, it was, well, I wouldn't say it was a battle between two competing nations, because it wasn't. It was essentially, you could say, like a Boston Tea Party-esque event in Britain. Smugglers were trying to bring contraband items without paying tax into Britain, and the equivalent of HM Revenue and Customs at the time caught up with them. There was a firefight and a customs official died. But the reason that it resonated with me, I think, was not only I was on holiday and the sun was shining, and it was interesting to learn something new about a place that, you know, was usually associated with sort of English Sandcastle holidays, or Bucket and Spade holidays, was that, you know, because 11 years before we had the Boston Tea Party, right?
And, yeah.
We often think of smuggling as being something that happened within the Atlantic world and the British Empire, but external to Britain itself, it happened in our colonies. But quite clearly, whilst that was the case, it did happen in the Atlantic world and within the British North American colonies.
I found it quite interesting as well. When you published that, and I was watching it on Twitter, you were like talking about the car park. It was very recently that I was kind of in York and seeing like a bit of the Roman wall that was in a car park. And I was struck going, I don't know what it says about how many car parks we have here in the UK, but like so many like little history things seem to go on in car
Richard parks. III as well in Leicester, right? I mean, car parks, if once you lay a car park, it seems sort of doomed to become historically significant.
Let's not forget, things didn't happen in history in car parks.
They didn't. I mean, that'd be really getting the wrong completely.
You're talking about.
If you want something historically significant to be discovered in an area near you, I think smash down some tarmac, get out some white and yellow paint, draw some chevrons, make a car park, and the chances are it might happen. But yeah, in Muddiford Quay, there was a shootout, and some folks were trying to smuggle contraband. It was tea as well into Britain without paying the tax, and the customs official was shot. But it's just something we often think of, something external to Britain, within the British Empire, but external to the British Isles. But that quite clearly wasn't the case, because it was happening around the world. And it also just chimed with something about the taxation in the 1760s. Obviously, the narrative of the American Revolution is that Britain were imposing taxes without parliamentary representation in the North American colonies. There was actually something called the cider tax, introduced in 1763. Now I'm having a little drop of Hereford scrumpy here. But the British tried to introduce a tax on scrumpy and cider producers from, you know, sort of Shropshire and Herefordshire. And there was a massive backlash against it. In the same way, there was a massive backlash against taxation in the 1760s in all of the North American colonies, but especially those in New England and Massachusetts, to be more specific. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see the symmetry and the correlation between the taxation in the 1760s, because there was inflammatory responses on both sides of the Atlantic, but then smuggling was happening on both sides of the Atlantic too. And whilst the Boston Tea Party resulted in no deaths, the Battle of Muddiford 1784 did result in a death. So yeah, just interesting, especially when you're out and about, you know, and you don't expect to come across history, and serendipitously or fortuitously you do, it just makes it all the more exciting, right?
That's exciting indeed. Just like the thunderstorm that's now over my head and starting to drizzle on me a little bit. Let's hope the rain staves off for the social this evening.
Well, yeah, at least you have hair to absorb it, gentlemen. The two of you are, you know, well thatched. You can weather the storm, so to speak.
People listening on the podcast, you went halfway through Patrick talking, Elliot kind of picked up and went under a tree, which was really, I was trying to work out what was going on.
People often do run away from their laptops when I'm on Zoom meetings. They often do that. I'm noticing, you know, patterns here.
Let's not exhaust all of the history that we're going to talk about for the social. Shall we just quickly get, because it is going to rain, it is raining at the minute, I'm going to have to move inside for the social, but should we get to the picking of the Wolfson History Prize, a book extravaganza that Connell's son picked the winner of
absolutely
a couple of hours ago?
And for verification, I took a video of it and shared it with Elliot and Patrick, and he took an extremely long amount of time to tell me to stop as I was scrolling through the nearly 1500 retweeters that we'd had. But the winner of those books is at Mr. AC History. So if you are listening, even if you're not listening, we'll get in contact with you on Twitter and get you to direct message us an address for us to send those to. But many congratulations. That is a prize that is well worth having.
That is really worth having. I mean, extraordinary set of books. And speaking of extraordinary things that people can have by win.
But before you do that, Ed, can I just say, the prizes were provided not by Versus History. They were sent to us by Midas PR and the Wolfson History Foundation and Wolfson History Prize themselves. So thank you very much indeed to Midas PR for providing that and the Wolfson Foundation too. And we thank them for all their support, ongoing support for history generally and our podcast in particular. So thank you. Elliot, over to you.
I was just about to say if anybody fancied one of our limited edition, only one of 50 printed Versus History T-shirts, they can find them on eBay or they can contact us. We can send them one to them. But now I think it's probably about time to get ready for the social.
Yep, absolutely. I'm ready to be social. I'm ready to be social, but not with you two.
With the summer drawing to a close, we'll soon see each other in person, which will be nice.
Yes, we will. I don't know about Patrick, but I don't mind seeing you first. All right. Well, anyway, it's goodbye from me.
Yeah, goodbye from me.
Bye from them too, and bye from me as well.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Versus History Podcast. Visit us at www.versushistory.com and follow us at Versus History on Twitter and Instagram. You can download all episodes from iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or from wherever you get your podcasts.